Earlier in the program, we discussed some important developments in Afghanistan, the release of the only American POW, the current state of the Taliban, and the planned U.S. withdrawal. Now we're going to take you up close to the experience of combat and inside the heads of U.S. soldiers.
I started thinking that God hates me.
That's former Sergeant Brendan O'Byrne, one of the soldiers featured in the new documentary, Korangal.
You do terrible things, then you have to live with them afterwards. But you'd do them the same way if you had to go back. So what do you do?
In the film, journalist Sebastian Younger once again takes us into Afghanistan's Korangal Valley, which was considered one of the military's most dangerous postings.
For a while, the Korangal was the scene of a fifth of all the combat in all of Afghanistan, and it was only 6 miles long. There was only 150 American soldiers there.
Between 2007 and 2008, Younger and photojournalist Tim Hetherington spent 10 months with a platoon of about 30 men at an outpost called Restrepo.
It was sandbags and crates of ammunition on a steep ridge. No internet, no phone, no electricity for a while, no cooked food, no TV, no girls, no cars, no sports, none of the things that young men like. And there was an enormous amount of combat. The first time I was out there, the Taliban attacked the outpost very fiercely 4 times.
Korangal picks up where the Academy Award-nominated documentary Restrepo leaves off. Sebastian Younger's co-director, Tim Hetherington, was killed in 2011 while on assignment in Libya. But the two had always talked about adding another chapter to this story.
We finished Restrepo, and there was so much good material we hadn't been able to use, and it was sort of a pipe dream, like maybe we can make another film. Tim was killed a few weeks after we were at the Oscars together. And about a year after that, I sort of got serious about picking that idea up. It was hard, you know. I used the same editor we'd worked with on Restrepo, and Tim wasn't there in the edit room, but his ghost was there in a way. I don't even mean that in a creepy way. I mean, it was actually kind of comforting to sense his presence a little bit. A lot of the footage in the film obviously was shot by Tim, and I watch it, and I feel kind of close to him.
Restrepo is a film that you made for civilians so that we could have a sense of what combat is like. With the second part, what are you going for? Who are you trying to reach with this?
Yeah, Restrepo was very particular. It wasn't meant to be about the war. It was supposed to allow people to step into the cinema for 90 minutes and experience something close to what combat feels like. There was no musical score. There was no interviews with generals, that kind of thing. You were just on that hilltop with those guys. What I felt was lacking was a complimentary piece where we really try to examine what war is, how it affects people, what it does to people, what it does for them. And so I went back into all the footage Tim and I had shot in 07, 08 and the interviews we'd done right after the deployment with the soldiers. And I just sort of mined it for something a little bit more examined. I asked soldiers, you know, how does fear work? Or what's the word courage mean to you? And so Korangal really is a sort of deconstruction of that experience and why it's meaningful. And I'm hoping as the soldiers sort of understand their experience better through this film, civilians will as well.
Well, it's interesting you talked about how you go through different concepts with them, like the idea of what bravery is. This is a clip from Specialist Sterling Jones talking about bravery.
I'm not doing this so that somebody goes, wow, those guys are really patriotic, those guys are really brave. Truthfully, I could give a what anybody thinks, except for those guys to my left and my right, because that's what it's about.
That's a really common sentiment that you hear from soldiers. And likewise with courage. I mean, one guy said to me, courage, there's no such thing. You're either doing your job as a soldier or you're not doing your job. Civilians look at doing your job as a soldier as courageous, but actually soldiers just see it as discharging your minimum duties towards your brothers. It's a completely different perspective on that. It's really interesting.
It's a very intimate view, and you see how these guys seem to be at the outer limits of human stress.
As they're sitting around, kind of being boxed up, you know, it gets to a person. And you see the guys on edge, like, when's the next round? Just looking.
The tensions would come from, okay, I know they're going to start shooting at us soon. Like, we haven't been shot at for 2 weeks, so they're probably storing up all their ammunition, all their weapons right now. And they're going to hit us hard right now.
The hardest thing for them was boredom. Frankly, they really enjoyed the combat. The losses they suffered, the occasional losses, were terrible blows to them, but they really enjoyed the combat. at one point, after a week or two of no combat, the lieutenant walked by me sort of muttering to himself on a very hot day, muttering to himself, oh, God, please someone attack us today. I mean, that's how boring it got.
And that brings up one of the other things that I think is really striking for civilians to see is that nostalgia in which they talk about the place and missing firefights.
You know, I don't personally talk to astronauts or, you know, any kind of extremist, but until you hear the snap of a bullet go by your head or hit your head, there's nothing else like it.
Most of the guys that I talked to, they went through a rough deployment. You know, they really did. And most of the guys I talked to from the platoon afterwards missed it. And they said they'd go back tomorrow if they could.
You were there, of course, for a limited period of time, but still, having gone there and experienced the intensity of that, can you understand that feeling of missing it?
Oh, completely. I mean, Tim and I each did 5 one-month trips, sometimes together, sometimes apart. So we were actually there a fair amount. Frankly, once I was on the helicopter out of there, I was relieved. But really, I never wanted to go. I mean, I really liked it out there. I liked the guys. There's something about being sort of enclosed in this very tight brotherhood that you can't duplicate back home. It's incredibly reassuring. Mm. And on some level, I think you feel safer in that brotherhood while getting shot at than you feel all alone in a society that doesn't have physical dangers. And then you come home, and whether it's the Greek warriors coming home from Troy to ancient Greece or American soldiers coming home from Afghanistan, you're coming home to a civilian situation which, frankly, can feel less meaningful, certainly more boring, and much less bonded. You're not in that same group of brothers.
Hmm. How are these guys doing today?
I'm not in touch with all the soldiers, but the ones I am in touch with, they're doing pretty good. I mean, the guys who got out did the worst for a while. The guys who stayed in the Army seemed to fare better. A couple of guys are having some problems, but they're all right.
Sebastian Younger's new documentary is Korengal. It's out now in New York and will roll out nationally through June. Sebastian, thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.